This is Mikey V from Chains Over Razors, and you're listening to Brutally Delicious Podcast.
Hey, Mikey, there's my partner, Chris. Thanks for joining
us.
Chris?
Hey, man. No, I was seriously just blasting the narc in my headphones and fucking, I was like, oh shit, I gotta join the meeting, but I didn't want it to stop, so I kept myself on mute.
I was just apologizing because we're late, because we've been having a day of fantastic conversations.
Oh my god, yeah.
Cool.
Sometimes they don't go as well as others, and then today, like, all the stars have aligned, and it's just been a really great day of chatting.
Cool. I hope to help launch that further.
Right, you don't want to be cogging the wheel. Right.
No pressure.
So I guess we can jump right in. Your record came out, the self-titled record came out, about a week and a half ago? Maybe a little longer than that.
Yeah, ago? I would say a few weeks ago, actually. March 20th.
It's like March 25th. So yeah, a couple, 3 weeks.
25th was like... Yeah, it was like the physical copy, and then on March 11th was like the pre-release digital copies that went on out.
So now that it's
cool.
Done,
how's it going for you? What's been the reaction?
The reaction's been unbelievable. I mean, the amount of positive feedback we're getting on it is awesome. I mean, you work your... By the way, what's the censorship on this? Because if I say if you work your ass off, am I going to get bleeped?
Nope, say whatever you want.
Dude. Do you know how many times I say the word fuck on this podcast?
Perfect.
I've actually had people send me messages saying, wow, that dude drops the F-bomb a whole lot.
Nice. You got to put a counter up on the screen.
That's a good idea.
Well, that is a great idea, actually.
Yeah, and then put like the Mikey V counter of F-bombs.
That's a great idea.
We could do a Chris versus Mikey counter. On this episode, just put it in the lower right corner.
We could beat today.
Yeah. So anyway, how do you feel about it now that it's done and the reception's been pretty well?
A sense of relief, because it can be mentally draining, when you're in a studio all hours a day. I mean, you're starting in the morning and next thing you know, it's dark. You have no idea. Or it could be morning again, and you're not sure what day it is. I've seen too many of those days. And, you try not to, burn yourself out. So keeping, the flow. Lots of coffee and cigarettes, that's for sure.
I miss cigarettes.
Good thing you quit. I just had one, and I need to quit.
It's been like 11 years, but I miss them every fucking day. There's a ding for your counter.
Yeah, I had to switch over to this little.
Yeah, he's douche fluting.
Yeah, I got a douche.
You got a vape pen there?
Yeah.
Don't judge him.
We all know that's not tobacco vape there.
What's that?
We all know that's not tobacco vape there.
Oh, it is tobacco vape.
It's like bubblegum flavor or some bullshit.
Let me see those eyes.
Fuck.
No.
How did you get involved with Carmine Appice?
Oh yeah, that was my question.
That one started on our first album. The last couple times we talked to Carmine recently with everything going on, the one thing was like, how the fuck did we meet? And I'm like, I'm still trying to figure it out, because the way it all came together was so fast. From what I remember, our last singer who is not on this album, unfortunately he had to leave due to personal reasons, but he messaged me. He met up with Carmine out in New York and he took a listen to a couple of songs, and I get a text saying, hey, this is Carmine's number, expect a call. And I'm like, okay, great. And I'm watching that metal show and there's Carmine on that metal show.
Yeah.
Cool. Next day, boom, right on my phone, Carmine Appice. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, don't sound like a jackass, And then you're like, all right, you better pick up the damn phone before it stops ringing, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
And pick it up and, hey, dude, I talked to your singer. I heard a couple of tracks. It's fucking great, man. I'm in. What? You're in? Holy shit. And then that's where the whole rabbit hole began with that first album. And then when we got our new singer, you know, we were still working out our original album live with him and stuff and still doing shows. And my brother and I and our new singer, William, we knew we needed to go in and do another album at this point. And this was like going into third or fourth month of 2019 before the pandemic stopped everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know? And I was backstage at a friend's concert, this big country band, Old Dominion. And my buddies, you know, pretty much went to school with this guy, and we're backstage hanging out, partying it up. And I'm like, man, I got to call Carmine. You know, we're getting near this point where we want to start the pre-production and the writing process of this new album. And I call him, and I pretty much missed the whole show. I was on a phone with him for about 2 hours.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, hey man, like, we want to work on a new album. You interested in executive producing again? And he was like, fuck, I'm in. Let's do it. I was like, great. You know, I call up my twin brother. I'm like, he's in. It's time to rock. And then we just started writing and recording in a studio. I mean, we went in with really no material. I mean, the material ideas that we had, my brother and I just threw it right out. And we're like, we're starting over. I think we had a lot of anger leading up anyways to the album. So we just started fresh and just whatever comes out of us, let's just get it captured. And right. That was the beginning process of the album. And our first song we began working on was Behind These Eyes, which was the first single release, which is now riding its way on the Billboard charts by some crazy chance. None of us expected it to be doing the fire that it's been doing. So it's been a hell of a trip. That's the last beautiful. 2 weeks.
That's amazing. Did we interviewed Carmine, what, a few months ago?
Yeah, maybe 2 months ago.
The guy was just so nice, and he can talk, man. Yes. I was just like, the stories just kept coming.
Oh, my God.
And it was amazing. Like, Bruce and I were like, holy shit, we're going to miss the next podcast. And we're like, keep it rolling. Let's keep going.
He was like on his deck in the Bahamas somewhere just chatting away.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, definitely. That's accurate. And the amount of stories, how many books? I mean, there could be a VH1 episode with just him talking about probably every band, whether he was on tour with or even a part of.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Story after story that you'll never hear in any of the musical history books.
No.
And I mean, my first meeting with him in person, I mean, he sent me through a whirlpool, and he was talking to me about Jeff Beck and Led Zeppelin and Jimi Hendrix. And then I'm just like, hold on a second, man. I need to go outside and take a walk about. And he's like, what the fuck for? You
know, that's process.
That's my Carmine impersonation. He'll probably kick my ass for that. But and I just went outside and I called my buddy, you know, who I believe he was working with Anthrax at that time. And I'm like, dude, Carmine is tripping me the fuck out with these stories. I'm trying to get it together. And my buddy just goes, pull up your pants, figure it out, and get to fucking work, man. And then hangs up. And I was like, all right, that's accurate. Like, just fucking go in there, man, and soak it up.
Yeah, we were talking to him, and he's like, yeah, I remember we brought Led Zeppelin to America for the first time. And Bruce and I were like, what?
Yeah.
And then he's like, and I got John Bonham his endorsement deal with Ludwig, you know, and he didn't have those before. And we're just like, what?
Oh, I know. That was one of the stories he hit me with that, like, sent me to the moon. And I was like, holy shit. And he's like, you know why I didn't have two bass drums? Because the guys in Zeppelin would hide the other one, so it forced Bonham to play on one. And I'm like, what? I'm like, that is the craziest shit I've ever heard, you know. And you know, to hear Bonham was influenced, and you know, everyone is aware that Bonham was influenced by Carmine, but he was telling me how much shit he got for it. And you know, people didn't want to believe him that, you know, Bonham was really inspired by Carmine. and didn't know that Carmine had two bass drums and that, you know, Bonham had to figure it out on one. And
I'm like,
that's why I need to go outside and get some air. You're freaking me the fuck out.
So how was he involved in the process for Chains Over Razors?
I mean, the amazing thing about Carmine, I mean, one, he's a great songwriter, and the experience he has just being, just writing with so many different artists, that, he'll bring his, he'll inspire you and bring his knowledge and inspiration to the project, but he won't like force you to like try to do a certain style. He will make suggestions, but he'll always let you figure yourself out and what your personality is in the song and of what he's trying to convey, with what you're trying to achieve in the song. Right. And I mean, we've had a couple of moments where there are multiple rewrites, and then, you know, finally when we got it right, he was like, that's it right there. Match or beat it from here on out. So this whole album, we set to match and beat every last song and to treat each song as its own on the album, but still at the end of the day, be the chapter in the book of that whole album. And as it goes, you know, it just takes you for a ride, you know, drop the clutch, pedal to the metal, let's go. Nice. And, you know, and he might suggest like key changes, or he'll be like, man, he's like that one part right there. He's like, why didn't you guys do it again? You know, like, well, what do you mean? Look, bring it back. And then, you know, you'll rework it. And, you know, because when you're writing and recording, sometimes you can get so lost in what you're doing, you can miss things so easily. And you need that outside ear to like ground you and pull you right back and be like, whoa, 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 slow down for a second. Go back to right there. Start from there again. And then let it launch. And so that was the great part about working with Carmine and the knowledge from writing, just soaking that up. And then when you start writing, you always think to yourself, like, what would Carmine do?
You know? Yeah, that's kind of a weird thought to have in the back of your head while you're writing. And it takes a special kind of person to be able to handle that pressure.
It was a lot of pressure. You know, and my twin brother's a drummer. And it's like, here, this guy is a legendary drummer. Yeah. And you're thinking... And he's like freaking out. And I'm freaking out. Because, you know, like I said, he's with Jeff Beck. And it's like, man, these are unbelievable guitar players. And I mean, my brother and I were shitting ourselves, of course. Sure. You know,
I can't even imagine being a drummer and being like, oh, Carmine's going to go over your tracks and let you know how he thinks you did. Like, yeah. I mean, it's like, fuck.
Oh, it completely was like that. And then before you know it, you know, you got to go and take a piss break and get a coffee, and you get back in the control room. And what do you see? See Carmine and my brother like drumming, having a drum off in the live room. And I'm like, I thought we were supposed to be working on an album. And you two are like the Blue Man Group right now.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was great, man. So, yeah, I mean, he lets the artists develop themselves, which is, I think, why it was also very spoiling to work with him. Because it's like, you know, you always hear stories that maybe some producers really have a certain way and then that's it.
Right.
But to work with somebody that's, let's try everything type of attitude and let you just develop your personality in it. That's rare.
Pretty awesome. Think it's something that a lot of younger bands miss out on, because it's so easy to record yourself nowadays.
Yeah.
That, and you can get decent quality, and the more you do it, the better you get. And it gets to a point it gets acceptable. But when you don't have that experienced ear overseeing something, you know, it's so much harder to grow without having someone nurture that talent.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of younger bands miss out on that.
Yeah, I mean, it gets right back to that idea of you can miss so much. And we always, on this album, tried to have that old school, like Aerosmith attitude, like tapes always rolling, because you don't know what you're going to capture.
Right.
And that's really where a lot of things start developing, you know. And I've had people ask, like, hey, did you, you know, what were you thinking? You came up with this. It's like, that happened because of a fucking mistake. Yeah. So we wrote a lot of mistakes out and developed that from there. It was just like, wow, that's cool as hell. Let's run with that. Right. So, yeah. And, you know, right. Everyone's also an audio engineer today. So it's, you know, I mean, I'm actually an audio engineer, but I've spent years in studios working under people's wing and care of the art of audio engineering. So going into this, trying to separate myself as the artist and trying to bridge that gap and like, okay, with Carmine there, I had to also think of myself as that outside guy too, which is hard. And, you know, eventually you figure out the groove, but you still need that outside ear to slap you in the face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And wake you back up, you know, and as soon as you think you caught to his groove, he pulls a fast one on you that you didn't expect. And he's like, oh, you thought you figured me out on this, huh? And you're like, kind of thought I did. <You know? laughs> Yeah, it totally, it's like, fuck, man, like, he got me on that.
Yeah. Hey, this is off topic, but is that a 002R in the background there?
That is. So when we were in the mixing process, I had to figure out how to create stems for mastering, just to have them, because you never know when you might need stems, whether it's for television or film and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had no way of creating it. So I brought out an old rig and figured out a way how to time code two computers together and chase it like tape. And I literally was like creating the stems, which took like a month or so to do.
Jesus.
It's a lot of work. Cause I mean, you want to get like your just stereo stems, but then sometimes you might want to have like kick, snare, tom group, overhead group, room group on drums, you know, guitar groups, you know, guitar production groups, you know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Sometimes separate enough that if it needs to go in for a film or something and they want to do a different mix of it for the film, they're not just working on like four tracks as a stem.
I've mixed a ton of films in my life. I'm an audio engineer.
Oh, okay.
I've mixed a ton of films and I hate it when music directors send me stereo tracks. Like, okay. I want them involved. I want them there because I might be able to use them, but oftentimes I might want to keep the music the same and just duck the vocal, you know, over if the dialogue's coming in, so that the melody's still there and the emotive part is still there, but it's not fully there. So,
yeah, yes. I mean, when you have like 24 drum mics on a kit, and it's like, oh, it's really easy just to spit a stereo stem of drums. It's like great for mastering if that works. And when I first started doing the stem transfers, I was like, but what if he needs to adjust the kick or a snare, you know, or dress something in the overheads? You just don't know. You know, something can reveal its ugly head in the mastering process. Because I mean, the littlest thing in mastering pops out that you wouldn't notice in mixing, and it's easily to get your ears numb in the mixing process. So I was like, screw this. I'm doing like kick, snare, tom groups and whatever. And then I even did stereo drums too. So I kind of gave every single option that I could think of to a mastering engineer for whatever purpose, whether film or just mastering our album. That way they have it, you know, and I'm not having to go back and trying to address something. And so I actually did digital dumps right to the 002. I'm surprised I even got use out of the thing. I mean, I haven't used that computer rig in 8-9 years. So, and my new setup, I'm running Burl Vancouver as
I'm from Vancouver. That's where I.
All right, dude. You know, it's like a Neve console in Iraq.
I get it. And,
yeah. So now when you're spitting out stems, you're like, okay, well, how do I do this? Because I'm actually now printing back in. So I have to really work around that curve and make sure that things are lining up. when you're working in Pro Tools, if you start disabling tracks, you start changing your latencies. So that was the other situation I was dealing with before, where I had to decide, like, I need to, like, chase another computer. And I watched a couple other, you know, I like to go on YouTube and watch some of these other producers and engineers talk about how they do their stems. And I came across a couple of guys that were like, yeah, I used an old computer and transfer it through there. And I was like, fuck, I still got my old, like, PowerBook Mac G5, you know, that pretty much a giant boat anchor, but still works great at this point. And I still had the old Pro Tools on it. And I'm like, man, I'm going to try it. And it worked. And it actually bailed my ass out of a situation of, you know, trying to rent out studio time and, you know, in some commercial studio for $130 an hour.
Yeah, there's quite a few ways. There's quite a few ways to spit stems out. When I worked with Peter Allen, who's quite a big film composer in Vancouver, he scored probably like 100 films or more.
Wow.
He would work in Digital Performer, and then we would spit them out to an HDX rig from Digital Performer. He was using a Motu. What was it? I can't remember the interface for Digital Performer, and then it would spit out to Pro
Tools. Yeah, so I actually use a Motu 16A, which the converters are ESS Saber 32 Ultras, which is pretty much what Apogee's even using, but a model up from what Apogee, and it was like, these are great fucking converters, you know? So that's why I started using Motu, and the versatility of the Motu is fantastic. Yeah, and you could just keep adding on and adding on if you wanted to. And it's and just how self-proprietary it is, too. You don't need all these damn drivers. You know, it could work as a standalone mixer if you wanted to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
Bruce?
Back to Sorry,
I go. I can go down the technical rabbit hole. And
it's nerd.
May not be the best thing for the podcast.
This is like bar engineer talk. Now we just need some shots.
So back to Chains Over Razors. Are you planning on taking this out on the road? And if so, what can we expect?
We just scored a booking agency. So we're working all those details out right now. And just trying to gather together the markets. When we hit the charts, we're in over 20 markets. So those are a lot of cities to fly past through and slap them all in the head with some cool metal. And so right now it's nothing pended yet. It's still just talk. We have very little time though to get it figured out. We do have a show on the south side of Chicago coming in June at a kick-ass venue. It has multiple stages, big place. It's called Bourbon Street. And it's the first time they're doing original music in over 30 years.
Oh, wow.
So we're kind of, sending that off for them again. So no pressure on that. And so that's really our focus at the moment while we're waiting to see, okay, how are we going to execute and what's realistic for us to be traveling? You know, we talked a lot about work in the Midwest and then expanding out, which would be the most ideal, you know, until gas prices could go down a little bit. But most of the markets we're in, we're not too far from, so we can still get to them reasonably without, you know, doing a 4-day drive somewhere.
The touring game is all screwed up now, I imagine, huh? With the economy and with the, you know, new COVID precautions and all these things, I imagine it's a whole new way of looking at putting your band out on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to another audio engineer yesterday, and he was telling me a band had to cancel due to COVID. You know, one guy gets it, everything is shutting down again, you know, and they have to cancel the tour. And I mean, I hope there's a way it can be figured out, you know, because I mean, it's not just the band, but if you have crew, you have their livelihood in your hands.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, when COVID hit, think of how many artists who paid the check out to production companies for lighting and audio and never saw that check back.
Yeah, that's all it. Answers, sure.
Yeah.
And yeah. Even the production and audio companies that went under because people weren't using them anymore.
Yeah.
And yeah. Live and, venues. I
mean, how many venues got shut down too because of it?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, we saw a lot here in Chicago close on down. It's just like, man, it's like, all right, well, looks like we're going to be playing a lot out of Chicago.
By default,
to reach people, which is cool. But, you know, and it's cool to see other venues open up through the madness of it all. But I mean, there were a handful of venues just in a city alone where you could walk down the street and jump in and out of a place. And now maybe a couple here and there. So that's kind of a bummer. Real bummer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's end this on a positive note because we're up against the clock here. We do need a bumper from you. So your name, your band, and you're listening to the Brutally Delicious podcast.
I got to write it down because my brain power is not that good.
You can't remember your name or your
You're not going to write your name down, are
you? No, I'm just going to write down kind of a sketch of a how I'm going to say it because I'm terrible at these things. So the podcast is Brutal.
The Brutally.
Brutally Delicious.
Delicious. All right. But yeah, sometimes I can't remember my name.
You're a little stick figure of yourself on there?
What's up?
You got a little stick figure of yourself on there, so you remember to drop your name in?
I do. It's actually in the shape of a middle finger.
That was beautiful.
Drop the fuck without saying it. Add that to the
you
counter.
Like that? That was pretty smooth, huh? Bing. What's our counter at?
Right. Thank you, my friend. I really appreciate you taking the time.
And thanks for keeping the day rocking.
Thank you for having me.
Keep the momentum going. And, you lived up to the bar.
Nice. Well, I hope to be back on and break the F-bomb counter.
All right. We'll excellent. Do it.
We'll create a special episode
just for the F-bomb counter.
All right. Let's end it on a big fuck.
Fuck! Well, my friend. Cheers.